This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
An infectious greed seemed to grip much of our business community. Our historical guardians of financial information were overwhelmed.
Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan speaking before the Senate Banking Committee last Tuesday, addressing the scandal over corporate accounting practices. Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And Mr. Greenspan's a man whose very words can set off a huge surge or slump. We might remember irrational exuberance.
I didn't know Greenspan as a moralizer. I thought of him as a great and important kind of, but now this whole idea of also issuing instructions about how to be moral, I think, is new for him.
Well, it's interesting. He said, and maybe this has been overlooked in the welter, that he thought all the basic elements were in place for a sound economy.
Right.
Now, of course, we're not just talking about people in some sort of vague stock market plunge have lost money. We're talking about millions of Americans who've
right.
watched their life's investments and retirement plans
right.
dwindle in value. Has so far only the first part of his message been absorbed? Is that why the market's reacting?
Well, I think there's something much larger happening here. I think Americans seem to be suffering from a profound loss of confidence in the integrity of big corporations, the executives who run these corporations, all the way from the Enron scandal and now trouble with Johnson & Johnson. Every day seems to bring word of some other company in trouble. More often than not, that trouble has to do with deception that's practiced for the purposes of self-enrichment of these executives. So when companies announce better-than-expected earnings, as happened this time, the investor says, how do I know that these earnings are for real? How do I know that they're not being invented? And trying to pump up the stock in order to make them more valuable to those who have all these stock options.
Mm-hmm. So many Americans seem to recognize there's a sound economic climate potentially, but they distrust the soundness of financial institutions and companies.
They distrust what they're told. And once they distrust what they're told, then numbers don't mean much anymore.
Congress is pushing hard on corporate reform, but certainly compromises are going to have to be made between the House and Senate and what versions are eventually handed down for signature or handed up for signature.
Yeah.
what do you think is going to be the final result?
Well, everybody in the government on both sides, administration and in Congress, is trying to jump on the reform bandwagon right now, which is a very popular place to be. Mainly, the bills that are in Congress now seem to involve stiffer penalties for fraud, more regulation of accounting procedures. There was a very strong bill that was passed by the Senate unanimously. The House has a much weaker bill that goes back some time, and they themselves feel it's got to be changed. They are now in conference. President Bush is there cheerleading the effort and saying, yep, send me a bill. I'm all for it. What will not apparently happen is something to make stock options an expense. Apparently, the lobby against that has been successful. But the rest, there clearly will be a bill. I think that the Congress people don't dare to go home without one.
It must be noted that members of the administration, including the president, continue to have to face questions about their own business conduct. There are calls for the SEC to release documents from the investigation of Harkin Energy, the president's former oil company. Vice President Cheney figures in an SEC investigation on accounting practices at Halliburton during his term as CEO there. And Army Secretary Tom White was on Capitol Hill this week, had to answer questions about his time as an Enron executive. Is there any sign that all of these inquiries are affecting the administration's political effectiveness?
Well, whatever the merits of the various suspicions aroused by Bush sweetheart deals with Harkin stock when his father was a president, the Halliburton accounting problems when Cheney was a CEO, whatever the merits of it, the fact that these people are constantly being asked about it wherever they go, as for example, Cheney goes to speak on behalf of a congressman running for office and can't get away from people asking him questions about Halliburton, mm-hmm. That makes it a big problem for them. When the president says, for example, that he's quite sure the Vice President Cheney will be exonerated, he creates another problem. The chief law enforcement officer of the president is not supposed to be saying what an independent mm-hmm. Body is going to do, so that creates a, in other words, there may be nothing there, mm-hmm. but the fact is that people are not satisfied that there's nothing there. Makes it very difficult for them to duck.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, Is this something the Democrats are best advised, forgive me, to leave to the press? Do they risk looking as if they're distracting the Congress and the administration from important duties?
There's always a possibility. I'm sure that the Democrats are aware of the danger of that and will try to avoid doing anything like that. I think that what they're taking is a position that when it comes to the war, we'll do everything bipartisan, nonpartisan, whatever, but the country still has to go on. And when it comes to what you're doing, the way of running this country, it's fair game.
What are the chances that President Bush is going to get his Department of Homeland Security pretty much in the way he wants to see it by September 11th?
Pretty good, I'd say. I think that the Bush program has basically cleared its first hurdle in the Special House Committee, which has overridden a lot of changes that various other committees tried to make. But the basic idea, merging 22 federal agencies, 170,000 workers, is all still in there. The Democrats lost on a party line vote on wanting to on the question of whether the president could shift money within the department. The House may vote next week. Mm-hmm. We still have to see a Senate version of the bill, but I think everybody wants to have a bill by September 11th.
A couple of courtroom proceedings this week. John Lind, the U.S.-born Taliban soldier, pled guilty. Part of the deal he struck with prosecutors, he'll be in jail for the next 20 years. And later in the week, the man is often called the 20th hijacker in the September 11th attacks, Zacharias Moussaoui, announced that he wanted to plead guilty, and the judge told him to reflect on that.
That's right. Well, in the case of Lind, you know, never really was established that he did anything very much, and so 20 years seems to be a fair thing. However, the Moussaoui case illustrates how hard it is in our justice system, which is a set of rules that you're supposed to play by. And if you don't want to play by those rules, as Moussaoui doesn't, you can really stand it on its end and make a great deal of difficulty, which Moussaoui is now in the course of doing. If Moussaoui is found to be not competent to defend himself, mm-hmm. he goes free. Is he trying to indicate that he's not competent to defend himself? He doesn't have any lawyers, doesn't want any lawyers, and he does these things. So let me say about Moussaoui, he may be crazy, but he clearly is not stupid. When he is, I don't know whether he got the idea from Lind that, what the hell, let me try to bargain my way out of a death penalty by saying I know all sorts of things which I'm going to tell you. Furthermore, I plead guilty. Plead guilty to what? Never mind. I just plead guilty. Yeah. Isn't that what Lind did? And it is really very an unhappy thing for American justice system that other people will not play by the rules which over the centuries we have devised.
Yeah. Let me ask you this quickly. Is there any sign of advance toward any kind of political settlement in the Middle East? It was a week in which suicide bombings were renewed in a couple of places in Israel, and yet at the same time Colin Powell met with officials of the European Union, Russia, and the UN.
Yes, and they met with the Arab representatives in Washington as well, and the president did. It's kind of back on track towards trying to get some discussion going again. A lot of what goes on is simply trying to maintain some kind of momentum mm-hmm. and keep the thing from collapsing. Secretary Powell is pretty good at doing that, and I think what he's managed to do is to say, hey, we're back in business talking. Where the talks will go, who knows?
Okay. Thanks very much, Dan Shore. Mm-hmm.